Hello, I'm going to speak to you today about tax court, the process of filing a petition, the pieces of documents involved, working with appeals and working with counsel, the various strategies involved in the process, and hopefully this will help you in preparing a client for tax court and to go through the process.
Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I'm your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
For this episode, I'm going to be discussing what goes into tax court before the trial. I will do a follow-up episode about tax court trials, the court procedure for that, but today I'm going to go into what happens before trial, starting with filing the petition for tax court. So to be eligible to file a petition with tax court, there are five documents listed on the simplified petition, which is available on the tax court website under the forms tab. The five documents are the notice of deficiency, the notice of determination concerning collection action, notice of final determination not to abate interest, the determination of worker classification, which would result from a filing a form SS-8 with the IRS, and the notice of determination concerning your request for relief from joint and several liability. This is connected to innocent spouse relief. Now, I am most familiar with the notice of deficiency and the notice of determination, which is connected with innocent spouse relief. But overall, these are the forms that a person should use when filing a petition with tax court, that a person cannot just be creative and file a petition that will lead to a case being dismissed. The other main reason for a case to be dismissed is generally there is a 90-day window for a person to file a petition with tax court. If a person files later than the 90-day window, then that is another reason for a petition to be dismissed from tax court. Going through the simplified petition, a person would fill out the date, city, and state where the notice was sent from, the year or years or periods that the notice applies to. Then at this point, there is a choice on whether to file a small tax case or a regular tax case. This is one area where there can be some strategy involved in making your decision. The small tax cases are for cases that have $50,000 or less at issue for a client, while the regular tax cases have larger amounts at issue. Now, in making the decision, the small tax case has a less formal case involved, while the regular tax case does follow the court procedure, so an attorney would have to be making sure that they're following court procedure. But also the small tax case can have a faster resolution, though it cannot be appealed to a court of appeals by the taxpayer or the IRS. So there is some decision-making involved. Often, low-income clients would just prefer filing under the small tax case procedures, but that is a conversation to have with a client. Next in the petition, number five is an explanation of why you disagree with the IRS determination. So this is the client's argument that they are making, while number six is stating the facts upon which a client relies. Here you are providing the facts that would give support for your arguments. So these are explanations. A person is not to submit receipts or other documents or other forms of evidence with the petition. They're just supposed to explain the facts upon which they're relying. So, for example, saying that for an innocent spouse case, stating some facts about the argument regarding the divorce of the petitioner from the other spouse in the marriage, some facts regarding their income, regarding the tax preparation, but do not provide actual forms or other documents at this time. At the end of the form, the petitioner would be providing their signature and other contact information, and the attorney or other counsel would be providing their contact information, including their tax court bar number. Now, it is possible for not only for attorneys to be licensed with tax court, but non-attorneys can be licensed with tax court if they study and take a test. This test has tax questions and is an exam that would show that a non-attorney has sufficient knowledge in order to represent an individual before tax court. With the petition, a person is supposed to file a copy of the notice. So with that notice, a person must redact, must use whiteout or some other way to cover up the social security number of all of the individuals involved. A person needs to be thorough to make sure that none of the numbers that are visible relate to the social security numbers. The IRS sometimes puts the social security number more than one time on a form. I cover up the barcodes and all of the scannable portions of the IRS document. This may be overkill, but I want to make sure that the client's personal information is protected. The petition is available for the public physically at the Washington, D.C. tax court itself. We want to make sure that their social security number is not available to the public. For that reason, there is a Statement of Taxpayer Identification Number. This form will be kept on physical file with the tax court, but is not included in the computer file available to the public. On that form, there is a space for the petitioner and additional petitioner to list their taxpayer identification numbers. This would be if a married couple is filing a petition based on an IRS form. There is also a place regarding innocent spouse relief to provide the social security number of the spouse that the petitioner originally filed a tax return with. This allows the tax court and the IRS to look up easily the social security numbers for everyone involved. So, like I was saying, this is not filed for public access from the tax court. The next form is the request for place of trial. Now, to speak to you about tax court, the process itself, tax court is physically located in Washington, D.C., but they have several judges that are sent throughout the nation. Each of them covers specific areas in the country, and based on the size of the city, that means there are more tax court cases. Some cities may be visited multiple times a month. Some might receive visits from judges a couple times in a season, while some may receive tax court visits from judges only once or twice a year. I happen to personally cover the Wichita, Kansas, and Kansas City, Missouri tax court dockets through Kansas Legal Services. Those are cities that may receive tax court calendar calls. The times that the judges appear for tax court, those would be in the 1 to 2 times a year range. So this can play into some of the strategy for deciding on where to request a place of trial. For one thing, that your client may just be thinking, I want to find the most convenient place for trial. That is certainly a valid choice. A client may also be thinking about finding a city that is visited more often. They may want to come before a judge faster or perhaps lower. They may want to think about the frequency of judge visits to that city in making their decision on filing with tax court. Also, each of the cities, the states, are in their proper circuits with federal court. So that may be part of the decision process in deciding, is this an issue for my client that is part of a circuit split, that making a decision on where to file one circuit may be favorable to my client while another may not. Depending on the type of controversy that your client has, this may or may not be part of the decision process. However, it is worth mentioning to your client because it is good counsel to bring that to their attention and let them know that is part of their decision. The last item to be included with the petition is the filing fee. The filing fee is $60. I find this to be one of the lowest court filing fees, but there is also a waiver of a filing fee that can be included with the petition in place of the filing fee. Going through this form, it provides information about the petitioner's assets, their debts, any dependents that they may have, any other special circumstances in their lives, such as incarceration or illness that you may want to list that may be a factor in whether they can pay the filing fee or not. I have found that several low-income clients have had the filing fee waived. If you are truly representing a low-income individual, then it is worth considering using the waiver of the filing fee in order to save them some money, save them some financial burden in order to deal with their tax court issue. At this point, the petition is filed with tax court. The court itself will deal with any issues with the documents that have been filed. Are all of the documents signed or not? The judge will make a decision on the waiver of filing fee, or the court itself may take care of anything faulty about the filing fee itself. The IRS will then be filing their answer. It will always be the taxpayer is the petitioner and the IRS is the respondent. Here the IRS will be making their response to the petitioner's petition, and often the IRS will be making denials of the various claims within the petition, and to some degree the IRS is filing these answers. They file several at a time, so it may just be blanket denials and not necessarily useful information to take away from the answer itself. The next step in the process will be that the case is assigned to appeals. There may be a several-month gap between the petition filed and hearing from appeals. Certainly, if the case is docketed for trial, that speeds up the whole process with the IRS. But appeals will be working with an individual. They are checking to see if the case can be settled or not. They are looking at the costs of litigation for the IRS. In my working with appeals, some of the appeals people have been able to work with me and see about settling, while others I feel have been too busy, not been able to focus on the case, and have sent it on to counsel rather quickly. The next department is the IRS counsel. These are the attorneys and paralegals for the IRS who are representing the IRS in trying the case. I generally work with the Kansas City, Missouri counsel. I found them to be quite fair and reasonable in making their settlement offers, so I've had good experience in dealing with them. I don't know if all counsel in various cities, if everyone has the same experience, but in working with counsel, they have the ability to settle cases. At this point, the cases often do settle before trial, before the calendar call, but if the case is not able to settle before trial, a person needs to work at gathering their evidence. They need to be providing trial exhibits, their pre-trial memorandum, and if they're able to do stipulations, generally these need to be filed 2 weeks before the trial. The rest of the trial preparation I will speak about on the next episode, and I will talk to you a bit about the calendar call process itself and speak to you about the low-income taxpayer clinic function in assisting unrepresented petitioners with the tax court. So I hope this helps you in thinking through filing a petition with the tax court and what some of the process is for settling cases and preparing cases for trial. I will follow up with you about trial next week. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors for another interesting tax discussion.